We're going to continue our subject on the mind makeover. And before I go into my message, Brother Jason has a video prepared for us. So if you can go ahead and play that video, Brother Jason. In Jesus' name. Give Brother Jason a hand.
The human brain, made of approximately 100 billion neurons, the same number of stars that exist within our galaxy. The human brain monitors and regulates all of the body's actions and reactions. With over 5 trillion chemical operations occurring every second, and signals being transferred at speeds of over 260 miles per hour, our brain is rapidly analyzing and responding to all of the sights, sounds, and smells all around us. Now, because we are all born slaves to sin, our mind has been programmed to behave out of selfish desire. The way we think, dream, reason, and act are limited to the ways of this world. Now consider the facts for a moment. For every behavior we experience, our brain creates a neurological pathway. As behaviors are repeated, those pathways become increasingly more stable. Think of it this way. A single behavior maps out a dirt road in your brain, creating a basic pathway for your thoughts to travel. But as you repeat behaviors, your brain builds a highway, allowing for an increased volume and frequency of thoughts to move about, resulting in your day-to-day actions. In order to change our behavior, we must reprogram our brain. It requires the deconstruction of existing highways and is a process that takes time. The Bible directs us to take every thought captive and to commit daily to the renewing of our mind through the power of God's Word. And in time, the result is the formation of an entirely new neurological roadmap, leading you to the life you were meant to live.
Amen. Wasn't that good, y'all? Amen. Now, that's some scientific information with the Word of God based upon what we've been teaching. So let's go ahead and dig right in so we can bless you today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn to Proverbs 23 and 7. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, today you're going to get a mind makeover. A mind makeover. Amen. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, matter of fact, I want you to read it with me. Amen. On the count of three, when you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. On the count of three, let's read it. One, two, three. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You can stop right there. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Two words you want to pull out. The word heart there means literally mind. A lot of times we get it confused with, you know, heart, our human spirit, but it's talking about your mind. Amen. And the word thinketh there literally means to estimate or value or to esteem. So as you estimate yourself, so are you. Every man and every woman, every boy, every girl, based upon how we think about ourselves, we are a direct reflection of how we think about ourselves. Now, we talked about this a number of times, that a person can get born again at the altar, and they can give their life to Christ, and they can receive what we call salvation. Somebody say salvation. The word salvation is a Greek word, sozo. Another synonym is soteria. Both of those words mean to be made whole. Somebody say be made whole. To be made complete. Come on, say it. To be delivered. To be rescued. Amen. To be healed. Amen. Salvation is a synonym to the word peace, which literally means nothing missing, nothing broken. This is what we receive when we get born again or when we get saved. We receive salvation. So why is it so hard for us to live out that salvation? Well, you just got your answer right there. Turn to Romans chapter 12 right quick. Romans chapter 12. We're just going to walk through it and teach the word right quick. And Holy Spirit, have your way in Jesus' name. Y'all got your expectation on? You got to pull on me. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2. This is talking to people who have received Christ, who have been born again. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. The word beseech means to come alongside of and to beg. I beg you by the mercies of God that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed. I want you to circle the word conformed. The word conformed means to be fashioned together with. That means as a system is operating and as a system is moving, you're moving accordingly. You are being fashioned with this system as it's moving. Okay? It says, be not conformed to this world. The word world can be translated system. Now, you know from going here, but I'm going to reiterate that there are two different systems operating. There is the system of the kingdom of God. We've been teaching this for a year now. And then there is the system of the world. Most Christians are somewhere in the middle, straddling from the system of the kingdom of God and straddling to the system of the kingdom of the world. Amen. And this is why we can't get results, because the Bible calls it double-mindedness. James chapter 1 says that a double-minded man or woman, they are unstable in all their ways. The Bible said, let not that man or that woman think that they will receive anything from God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us, you can just write it down. It tells us that all the promises of God are yes and amen. So something is happening between what God has promised and what we're actually currently experiencing. Come on, somebody say amen. Something has happened while we can't attain the promises of God. And what we call it double-mindedness. Amen. The Bible says in James that the person that doubts, they're like a person that is wavering like the waves of the sea. The word wavering literally means the same word doubt in Matthew chapter 11. It says this right here, Matthew chapter 11 verse 22 down to 25. This is what it says. It says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Amen. And doubt not in your heart. And whatever you believe and whatever you said out of your mouth, you can have whatever it is that you say. So what's happening between the promise and the actuality of how we're living right now? The middle piece is doubting. Somebody say doubting. And the word doubt is the Greek word diakrino, which means, watch this right here, to speak disagreeably. It means to contend with an opponent and speak disagreeably. In the case of the text right there in Mark chapter 11, it's talking about you and I disagreeing with God's word. That's what doubt means. Amen. Now, let's look back at Romans chapter 12 again. Romans chapter 12. I'm showing you something right here. It says, be not conformed to this world. Tell your neighbors and neighbor. You can't be on both sides. You got to be on one or the other. It said, but be transformed. Somebody say transformed. Now, that word transform is the Greek word metamorpho, which literally means, it comes from the word where we get metamorphosis from, where a caterpillar is changed into a butterfly, where a tadpole is changed into a frog. It literally means to move from one image into another image. Anytime you see the word trance on the beginning of a word, it means movement, like transportation, transpire. It means movement. So God wants us to move from one image to the other one. Now, spiritually speaking, every person in this room has already been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, spiritually speaking. But naturally speaking, we have to line up with what is spiritual. Here's what it means. Our minds have to line up to what our human spirit really is. This is what it means. In the mind of God, you and I are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Every single person in this room is a new creature in Christ Jesus. But our minds have to be transformed. We have to move from one image to the next image in order for us to attain all the promises of God and everything that God has for us. Amen. Praise God. Here we go. Now, I want to paint a picture to you, just continuing on how God sees us, and then we're going to work out something else towards the end. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, tell your neighbor, say we're going to get a mind makeover. Genesis 1, 26, you could turn there or just jot it down and say, God said. Somebody say, God said. Who said? Who said? Who said? We want to make sure you know God said this. Let us make man in our, after our, and let them have. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the cattle, over all the earth. How much of the earth? Who has dominion over the earth? Who has dominion over the earth? This is God's mindset towards us. The word image means a figure or representative figure. Amen. The word likeness means resemblance, similitude, image, model, or pattern. It literally means to be made like God. Tell your neighbor, say, we were made like God. Now, Romans chapter 1 tells us this right here. It tells us that everything that you and I see paints an image of what even the eternal Godhead is. Romans chapter 1. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I'm going to illustrate it. If I take a tomato and I open up the tomato and I pull a seed out of a tomato and I plant the tomato seed, what am I going to get? Okay. If I take a cucumber and pull the seed out of the cucumber and I plant the cucumber seed, what am I going to get? Now, y'all know I'm going to get a watermelon. No, I'm not going to get a watermelon. I'm going to get a cucumber. Galatians tells us whatever we plant is what we're going to harvest. Whatever we plant is what we're going to harvest. Well, Peter tells us that you and I were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I'm going to say it again. You and I were born of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. That means God planted Word and the harvest is going to be Word. God planted Jesus and the harvest is going to be Jesus. You got to catch this right here. So you and I shouldn't have no type of wrong mental picture or wrong mental image of who we are. Amen. Now, the word dominion means to tread down. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, we are to tread down all the power of the enemy. It means to subjugate. It means to subdue, to crumble, to oppress, to rule, to reign, and to prevail against. We should not be prevailed against. We should be prevailing. Come on, somebody say amen to this. We were created to rule and not to be ruled. We were created to rule over all the earth and everything in it. And we have power to bring all things that are out of order into divine order. This is God's mindset towards you and I. We have power to bring everything that is out of order into divine order. I'm going to say it again. We have power to bring everything that is out of order into divine order. You and I are supernatural beings. Come on, somebody say amen to this. See, that's why we're getting our mind renewed. Amen. Now, verse 2 says this right here in Romans also. It says that you and I, matter of fact, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. Somebody say prove. That word prove, you know that it means to allow. That you may allow that which is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That means that you and I can disallow God's will. We can allow his will or we can disallow his will. Where is the problem at? 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Turn there. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. It says, the God of this world, small case g. Am I moving too fast for y'all? 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. It says, the God of this world, the God of this system, the God of this time span, the God of this course of living, has blinded the unbeliever's mind that they should not discern the truth. I'm reading from the Amplified. Preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the Messiah, who is the image and the likeness of God. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the devil don't want you to see who you are. Now, why doesn't he want you to see who you are? If he can stop us from seeing who we are, made in his image and likeness, then he can stop us from exercising dominion. If he can stop us from seeing who we are, he can stop us from exercising dominion. Now, some people might say, well, Pastor, listen, you know, that was in the Old Testament. That was Adam. You're correct. But remember, Jesus came. Matter of fact, I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. Turn there right quick. We're going to show it to you right quick. Mark chapter 1. Let's look at verse 14 and 15. Now, let me tell you something. The word dominion is another word for the word kingdom. As a matter of fact, kingdom is two English words squoze together. Somebody say two words. It means a king's domain or a king's dominion. Okay? Now, look at Mark chapter 1. Look what it says here. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of what? The kingdom of God. King's domain. King's dominion. The word kingdom means the rule and the reign of God in and through mankind. This is what Jesus preached. Jesus didn't preach some of the messages that we be preaching. He preached the kingdom. Jesus preached that God was ruling in and through mankind. God was dominating in and through mankind. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now watch this right here. And saying, the time is fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is what? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Two words. Repent and believe. The first word, repent, means to change your thinking. Remember, Proverbs 23 and 7. As a man thinketh in his heart or in his mind, so is he. So if you still think that you are subjugate to the world and the system of the world and the problems of the world and the condition of the world, then guess what? You'll be exactly that. Subjugate to it or subject to it. But if you think that you are above it, then guess what? You have just that. I'm trying to show you something here. Jesus said, change the way you think. Amen. Amen. Change the way you think. So now we see this thing over in the New Testament. Now, Ephesians chapter 2. This is powerful. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. It says, you, he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have been made alive. Verse 2, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age. Following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. The careless, the rebellious, and the unbelieving who go against the purposes of God. This is who we used to be. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions or the desires of our flesh. Watch this. Our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind. Now watch this. You're seeing why we have the habitual mind patterns that we have. Because we constantly, under the sway and the tutorship of the enemy, by demonic oppression, demonic possession, whatever it is, depression, whatever it may be, we were led and guided by our own sinful nature. We were led and guided by our own thoughts, our own way of doing things. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And what we're doing here is we're breaking the mindset that we don't have power over that. That's the whole reason why Jesus died. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. I was talking to somebody. Let me just show you this right here. I was talking to somebody while we were out of town. And I said, you know, I think I have the answer to why certain people are free from things right now. And certain people, progressively, it takes time. Because I remember I had addictions to crack, alcohol, cigarettes, women, everything. My wife will tell you. And I went to church that day, but my whole time is I wanted to be free. I didn't want to be controlled by this. I wanted to be free. When I got to the service, the power of the Holy Ghost touched me, and I ain't touched it since then. And that was 20 years ago. I didn't have to go to a 12-step program, whether it was a secular one or a Christian one. Why? Because I wanted to be free, and the Holy Ghost met me at my point of agreement and delivered me. Now, let me say this right here. You and I know the truth is when a person don't get free is because necessarily they don't want to be free. Most people, like if they're smoking, they'll say, well, the Lord will take it away from me when he wants to. Well, God been wanting to take it. He didn't even want you to get into it. Because he know it destroys your body and it ruins your testimony. God don't want you under the control of anything or under the influence of anything or anyone except him himself. Come on, somebody say amen. That's what God wants you under the control of. Amen. So because our minds operated like that and we thought like that. Amen. The outcome of our habits produced what we live in right now. Amen. Amen. Now let's see what the Bible says about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Write it down. It says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Take your name and say, "Neighbor, I have the mind of Christ." This is not speaking figuratively. This is speaking literally. Now, you and I can either allow this mind to operate in us or disallow it to operate in us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Turn there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Tell your neighbor, said it's getting good. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to read it from the King James, then I'm going to read it from the Amplified to help you see it here. Verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Now here, the Apostle Paul has given us the legal right to allow the mind of Christ to operate in us. He said, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." What does the word "let" mean? What does it mean? That means that we can disallow the mind of Christ from operating in us. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? The word "Christ" is the Greek word we come from, Christos, which means the anointing. Comes from the Greek word "krio," which means the anointing. Somebody say the anointing. You and I have the mind of the anointed one on the inside of us. What does that mean? We have the same mind that Jesus operated in. The same mind. Somebody say the same mind. But we have to allow that mind to operate in and through us. Now, when the Spirit of God, we taught this, when the Spirit of God comes to live inside of a believer, in us and upon us, the book of John says, when the Spirit of truth comes to live on the inside of us, his mindset comes with him. He doesn't leave his mind. His mindset, his way of doing things, his way of thinking comes with him. That's why we have the mind of Christ. That's why Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this right here. But when you, it says, "Wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father." And he said, "And you shall receive power to be witnesses." The power he's talking about is the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes to live in us and upon us, his mindset comes with him. His way of thinking, his way of doing. And guess what? God's mindset, he sees no limitations. He sees no limitations. Remember what we said a couple weeks ago. You and I have a superior mindset. A superior mindset. Amen. Somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Here is the benefits of this mindset. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. Praise the Lord Jesus. Somebody say, "The Lord is good." Tell your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, I got the mind of Christ. I have the mind of the anointed one, Jesus. I got the same mindset of Jesus." We're going to show it to you in a minute. We're going to show it to you in a minute. It says, "There shall come forth a rod," verse 1, "out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Watch this. The Spirit of wisdom. Circle wisdom right there. The Spirit of wisdom. That means you have the ability to have insight when everybody else can't see what's going on, because you have the mind of Christ. When you don't know what decision you should make, you have the ability to make the right one because you have the mind of Christ. You have wisdom. Amen. The second one, he said, you have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Understanding means to be able to agree with somebody. See, some people don't have the spirit of understanding. Understanding simply means to stand under. And you can tell when a person don't have the spirit of understanding because they always disagree with everybody. Understanding is a spirit. To be able to work together with other people is the spirit of understanding. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you will help you work with people. If you can't work with people, you don't have a spirit of understanding. But because you have the mind of Christ, you have the ability to stand under and understand. Amen. Amen. Praise God in heaven. He said the spirit of counsel. I said this last time. This is a good one right here. When you understand the mindset that you have, you don't need to be running to the pastor all the time to get counseling. Because you have the great counselor on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit will counsel you. As a matter of fact, the book of John tells us this right here. When the spirit of truth or the comforter shall come, the word comforter literally means counselor. Somebody say counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. See, when you don't know what to do, the spirit of God will counsel you. When you feel like you're weak and you're all by yourself, likewise also the spirit helpeth our infirmities, or he helps our weaknesses. When you don't know what to pray, the Bible says we don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for the saints according to the will and the purpose and the plan of God. He's your advocate. You don't need no attorney. He's your attorney. The Bible said he'll plead your cause. Amen. You ain't even got to stick up for yourself. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 19 or 10 verse 19, you don't even know what to say in that hour. Don't even fear, because it's not you, but it's the spirit of your father that speaks in and through you. Come on, somebody say amen. You have an advocate. You don't have to stick up for yourself. He got your back. Amen. The Bible said he's your strengthener. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. Amen. The Bible said he'll grant according to us and to the riches of his glory, that we might be strengthened with might by his spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. Amen. And he's our standby. Somebody say standby. That means you can trust, you can rely, you can lean, you can depend your entire human personality upon him, because the spirit of God is there to lead you and guide you and direct you into truth. Amen. Into truth. Amen. Come on, get a Lord a hand clap. Amen. Praise God in heaven. Let's kind of look at this mindset displayed, this unlimited mindset displayed. Amen. I'm going to give you a few scriptures just to kind of take the lid off. Turn to Mark chapter 9, verse 23. This is the mind of Christ. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Turn there. I don't know what you're going through right now, but we're going to just dismantle that power of the enemy's hold off your life today in Jesus' name. If you look at verse 17, you're going to see a story here. Before we talk about this, this story is talking about a man who brought his son to the disciples. And when he brought him to the disciples, they could not cast the devil out of this man. Amen. I want you to get down to verse 23 right here. And Jesus upbraided them because of their unbelief. If you look at verse 23, it says, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. How many things are possible? All things are possible to him that believes. How many things are possible? All things are possible to him that believes. We're talking about the mind of Christ. Now go to Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Reason why I'm not reading the whole stories, I can, but I'm not, because I want to get something out. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Turn there right quick. This is the mind of Christ. Jesus did not look at obstacles and base his decision upon the obstacles. He operated a whole nother system. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. You know this story here. This is when the angel visited Mary. Amen. And Mary had never been with a man. Amen. Mary had never been with a man. And the angel of the Lord had told Mary, he said, look here, Mary. He said, Mary, you're going to conceive a child and his name is going to be called Jesus. And she said, how can this be? Seeing as how I've never been with a man. And the response that the angel said to him, to her, is in verse 37. For with God, somebody say with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, our possibilities have been determined by the weight of the world system. Here's what I mean here. Possibilities have been determined by the weight of the world system. We have defined possibility by what other people have already accomplished, rather than looking at what the word says and defining possibility by what the word says. He said, all things are possible to him that believe. Then the angel told her, with God, nothing shall be impossible. How many things? Nothing shall be impossible. Say, neighbor, I got the mind of Christ. Mark chapter 10, verse 27, just another scripture just to validate it. Jesus, looking upon them, said it. With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Anything that's in God's word that God has promised to you, all things are possible. How many things are possible? Now let's examine this mind of Christ just a little bit more. Luke chapter 5. All we're doing, we're talking about the mindset that you have. Luke chapter 5, let's look at verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. What we're going to see is two different systems operating here. We're going to see a natural system, amen, that is encompassing toil, self-effort without Christ. And then we're going to see the supernatural system or the kingdom of God in operation in one's life, amen. Now watch this right here. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Verse 5. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, look at this. We have what? Toiled all night long and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, you got to picture this right here. Jesus was not a fisherman. Peter was a professional fisherman. Jesus came in there and violated everything that Peter ever learned about fishing. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Jesus came and brought a whole nother way of thinking. He came and brought a whole nother system. Now, here's the part that I want you to catch. The key here is that he sat down and he taught them the word. I imagine as he was teaching them the word, he was teaching them about the possibilities of the kingdom of God. Because the Bible said he taught about the kingdom of God. The Bible says in the book of Acts that Jesus not only taught the things, but he did what he taught. He not only taught it, but he did what he taught. So in the case of this right here, he sat down and taught them the word. And then he turned around and then he established and confirmed the word through demonstrating the word. So he taught them the principle of the kingdom. And then he turned around and demonstrated the principle of the kingdom. So if you look right here, it says, Simon answered unto him, Master, we've toiled all night long and had taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of what? And the net broke. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled what? Both the ships, so that they began to do what? Now, we just talked about just a minute ago. They had towed all night long, and there wasn't no fish. Don't that sound like some of us? Just working and working and working and working and still can't take care of stuff. What he did is he introduced a whole nother system. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Don't it seem like something got added to him? Yeah. Amen. It wasn't their own human effort. It wasn't their own toil. The system of the kingdom of God operated and they were able to reap the benefits of it. Amen. Let's look at another one. Let's look at another one. Tell your neighbor, say, I got that same mindset in me. That same mind of Christ lives in me. Luke chapter 7. Turn there right quick. Luke chapter 7. Verses 12 through 16. Verses 12 through 16. When you get to somebody, say, praise the Lord. It says, now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. Was this man what? He was what? He was dead. Tell your neighbor, he was dead. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. Now the word bier there in the Greek language is coffin. This guy was in the coffin. Come on, somebody say amen. And they that bare him stood still. That means they were carrying the coffin. Now, imagine going to a funeral here. Amen. And somebody carrying the coffin. There's a process here. There's been embalming fluid put in the body. Parts of the body has been cut open. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Parts have been sewed up, different things like that. But Jesus made that no, never mind. I'm just trying to show you something here. All things are possible. Now watch this right here. He said, don't weep. And he came and he touched the coffin, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was what? Sat up. I'm telling you right now, some of your situations in your life is about to sit up. Some of those dead circumstances are about to sit up when you start telling them to arise. When you start talking to them. The Bible said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and whatever you say, you're going to have. Amen. But you got to start praying, and you got to start saying, so that situation can sit up. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap. Praise God. Well, Pastor Carl, that was Jesus. Okay, well, let's look at somebody else. Let's go over here to the book of James chapter 5. Tell your neighbor, say, I have an unlimited mindset. Turn to the book of James chapter 5 right quick. Is this good teaching, y'all? Amen. Look at verse 14. Look what it says here. It says, is any sick among you? Now, tell your neighbor, say, this is New Testament. Is any sick among you? Question mark. Let them call for the elders of the who? Amen. And let them do what? Anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of what? The prayer of what? Now, we got many different type of prayers. In this case right here, we have the prayer of faith. We have the prayer of petition, the prayer of supplication, the prayer of praise, the prayer of worship. We have many different type of prayers, but here, in this case, it said a prayer of faith shall what? Save the sick. And the Lord shall what? Raise them up. And if he committed sins, they shall be what? Now look at this, 16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be what? He's telling you, you pray for each other, you're going to be healed. The effectual, somebody say the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now I want you to circle the word righteous. Because a lot of times we just breeze over this scripture and we confess it. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous make tremendous power available, dynamic in his working. But you want to extract the word righteous here, because this is where the problem is. It's your mindset towards who you are. Because when you pray in confidence, knowing that you are the righteousness of God. You have a right to pray this prayer, and you believe that it's going to be answered in Jesus' name. Righteousness is not what you do. It's about what he did. It's who you are in Christ. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. That's why we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we probably stay on this mind thing for 6 months or so. Until we get everybody thinking the right thoughts. Amen. Have you ever been just, you know, a situation presents itself and all of a sudden, like that thing, the video that Jason showed, those thoughts start running through your head? You know, a bill come and then guess what? Here they come. Amen. Sickness come and attack you. And guess what? Here they come. Them thoughts. You know what I'm talking about? See, that's the stuff we got to transform. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 and 5 tell us to cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Amen. You got power over your thoughts. Amen. I'm going to tell you again. I've said it 100 times, but I'm going to confess it again. Kenneth Hagin said that you can let the birds fly over your head, but don't let them make a nest in your head. Amen. That's your thoughts. Don't let them thoughts make a nest in your head, because you and I are a direct reflection of our thoughts. Amen. Now, we're going to finish this up just to help you out here. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, look at verse 17. Here's the key right here. Elias, not Jesus, but who? Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he did what? He prayed what? earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. You mean to tell me that a man prayed and it stopped raining for 3.5 years? Tell your neighbor, say, we going somewhere. We was there with Pastor Bill Winston, and I thought I was preaching some crazy stuff. He was preaching some crazy stuff. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, we going back to Eden. We going back to how we supposed to live. Amen. That's what that video said, the original intended plan of God. The way we're supposed to live. The way we're supposed to talk. The way we're supposed to walk. Amen. You and I were made in the image and the likeness of God Almighty. Nothing should be controlling us. Nothing should be subduing us. Amen. Just because the times are bad don't mean that we have to experience it. Come on, somebody say amen. Over there in the book of Genesis chapter 28, you find Jacob. The Bible said Jacob sold in the time of famine, and that year he reaped a hundredfold return. He reaped a return that was so big that the Philistines envied him and they hated him. And you know why he reaped it? If you continue reading Genesis 28, he made a vow to God and said that whatever you give me, I'll tithe off of it. Somebody say amen. My God. Turn to the book of Acts. Turn to that book that a lot of people don't want to read from. Turn to the book of Acts. Look at chapter 2 and look at verse 4. Look, we're going to read verses 1 through 4, then we're going to jump down. We're going to see some supernatural increase. Now, this is an increase of people. We're going to see supernatural increase in any area of our life. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord. Somebody say, one accord. That's an awful small car, ain't it? Honda Accord. They were all in one accord. 120 of them in there. In one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Somebody say, a sound from heaven. As of a rushing mighty wind, and it did what? It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven. The word cloven means divided tongues, like as of fire. Let me explain to you what this means, like as a fire. If you and I have a fire, and we start a fire, and you have one piece of kindling connected to the other piece of kindling, the fire would jump from one piece to the next one. So when it's explaining to you like as a fire, he's saying that that fire consumed every person that was in that prayer room. One by one, every person was consumed by this cloven tongue or these divided tongues. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. We're going to show you what we're talking about right here. And it set upon them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, here's what I want to show you. You guys know the whole story. The Spirit of God, 120 people were in the upper room. The Spirit of God came into the place. They were all filled with the Spirit of God, which is what? The mind of Christ. Come on. Somebody say the mind of Christ. They were all filled with the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God. If you get down to verse 41, after Peter started preaching, the Bible says that they gladly received the Word of God. They were baptized, and thousands, 3,000 people were added to them. That is a supernatural increase. Somebody say supernatural. Here's your answer. When the Spirit of God gets involved in your life, he's going to put the super on your natural. When the Spirit of God gets involved in your life. And see, that's what we want. We want the Spirit of God to get involved in our life. You know, I told you the stories. If you go back and you trace the Old Testament and find every place that the Spirit of God came upon somebody. When the Spirit of God came upon them, they did exploits. The Bible said they that know their gods will do exploits. The word exploit means to explode. You about to explode in your situation, in your circumstance, in your school, at your job, on your business. The more we get this thing together with the mind of Christ, we're going to just explode. Somebody say explode. And then it continues on and said that daily people were added to the church. The Spirit of God will continually and progressively add to your life daily. Now, in the context of the verses, it's talking about people. But it still don't take away from the supernatural increase that happened. And that's what we want. We want the supernatural increase of the Spirit of God. Amen? I'm just going to repeat another one. You remember the story of Samson? I'm going to repeat it just to build your spirit up. You remember the story of Samson? Amen. The Bible said that the Spirit of God came upon Samson, and Samson ripped the lion into pieces like it was a goat. I can't even imagine ripping a goat into pieces, let alone ripping a lion into pieces. And see, the problem is that we read those stories and we put good little pictures together for the kids, and we read and we flipped the pages, and they got the pop-up books and stuff, and it's become just what it is, a story. But it is a literal biblical occurrence or event that happened. A man, under the influence of the Spirit of God, ripped the lion into pieces. Psalm 91 said that we'll trample underfoot the lion and the dragon, the young lion and the adder. Are you catching what I'm saying here? This is what the Bible has already said. We have the power to do that. We got to change the way we think. Come on, somebody get a Lord a hand clap of praise today. Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Some of the other things that you get when the Spirit of God comes upon you, because I'm closing right now. Not only do you have wisdom. Somebody say, I got wisdom. You have understanding. I have counsel. This is the one that ripped the lion apart. I have might. Somebody say might. Not your own might. You can go lift weights all week long and don't get this kind of might. This might is the Kratos power of God. This might is the power of God that raised Jesus from the dead. This is supernatural. This ain't natural. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. You'll have might. Somebody say, I got might. You have knowledge. Somebody say knowledge. And you have the fear of the Lord. Amen. Stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Tell your name. Say, I got the mind of Christ. Praise God in heaven. Listen, this is powerful right here. Somebody say the fear of the Lord. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of wisdom. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I want wisdom. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of it. There is no fear of God if the presence of God is not involved in your life, if the Spirit of God is not involved in your life. So I want every person to bow your head just for a minute. Bow your head just for a minute. The prerequisite to everything that we have talked about today is knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible said, except a man be born again of spirit and of water, he cannot see the kingdom, and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the way, God's way of doing things. God